welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 21st, 2018, Season 12, Episode 27. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number to reach out and touch us. Is that how it is?
I guess.
Reach out and touch someone? The old slogan?
Yeah.
You remember the old phone slogan?
Yeah, reach out. What was that, AT&T or?
South Central Bell.
Yeah, but didn't they all become one thing anyway?
Yeah, Ma Bell.
Yeah. Bell South.
Yeah. Anyway, check out In-Game Chat for InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to Twitch.tv and type in In-Game Chat in the search bar.
The doobly-doo.
Yeah, and you'll be able to find us that way. You can just go to our website and click on the Twitch link there. Easiest thing in the world to do to watch us live and join in the chat room with everybody else there and discuss pretty much whatever you want. Let me do this real quick and get everything synced up for later when I edit video. And there. Hardly need it anymore, but there was a time when it would do this and then make the noise afterwards. So, yeah. So.
And I'm Matt.
I was about to mention that, but yeah.
Oh, I haven't even. Did I not even do the
thing? We didn't introduce. You said you were going to forget something, and there we go. We forgot to introduce ourselves.
Hey, it's season 12, episode 27. Did I get that part in?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm Scott.
I'm
That's
RJ.
The part you missed. And okay. I'm Matt.
That's RJ was over there, and Matt's. Where's my finger going? That's RJ. And that's Matt.
And that's the mic.
And that's the microphone. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't care.
That's part of our charm, folks.
Welcome to the show. Nobody saw that who's listening on the radio, so it doesn't matter.
No.
Anyway, welcome to the show. I didn't play much as far as what I played. I didn't even touch Danger Zone 2.
Right.
I didn't touch it. That pinball tournament that I won last month, they've started the next one for this month.
Oh, okay. You're going to win this one? Right.
Well, they just started it yesterday, and I haven't touched that either. We're doing the Jurassic Park table that's on Pinball FX 3.
Okay.
There's a 10-day window, so I'm gonna hold off a bit. I don't want to burn out too quick with a score that's easily be beat.
Yeah, that's the thing about tournaments like that. Yeah, you're going to peak at the wrong time. If you do that, everybody's got all day to take your score down.
It's the last one I thought I was done. I swear, the last one I thought, that's it. Somebody beat. I put in a good run for that score that I got, and then the next day somebody blew me out of the water with a score that was almost double what I had done, and I thought,
It's like the psychological hit of seeing your best effort was
not good
dwarfed
enough.
By someone like that.
Exactly.
That's a psychological hit, and some people can't come back from that.
And
but
so,
you did, though. That's
I know.
Proud
and
of,
then
on that one.
I had, I don't know how many hours were left, like 5 hours or something like that left in the thing, and I was going to play Destiny, and I thought, let's play some pinball, see what happens. And sure enough, was able to exceed that score with only a few hours left, which means I was pretty secure in thinking that I would win it. So, you know, I'll tackle that in, like, the last few days of the tournament because, God knows, there's stuff for me to chase in Destiny now with the little secret mission thing, whatever, that happened yesterday that somebody found. I love it when Destiny does that stuff, when somebody finds something and says, what is this? I can't figure it out. And then the entire community's like, let's go tackle that and figure it out, and everybody's on top of it to find out what it is. And so it's a brand new sniper rifle that kind of mixes the old it's like Black Spindle from last year, but it sort of mixes Black Spindle with what was that weapon that I think we all got. You had to get the weapon by collecting all the calcified fragments all over the dreadnought. You had to go and, you know,
Thousand-yard stare?
No, it's not the thousand-yard stare. It was that thing that would... It pulled ammo from your health. And the lower your health got, the more damage the bullet would do.
Okay.
And I can't remember what it was called. It was an exotic. I know if Drunk Degenerates was in there, he would tell me.
Yeah. So it pulls from your health.
Yeah, the gun's ammo pulls from your health.
Yeah, the more you shoot it, the more your health goes down.
Right, and everybody, you know, there was one of those things where when you were building a raid clan, it was, do you have this weapon? Okay, yeah, come on in. Because somebody would lay down their...
the heal bubble?
The heal thing, yeah, exactly. They would lay down the heal thing, and then you would just stand there and shoot.
Blink, blink,
blink. And your health would go down, but you would never die because it was always healing you. So you'd have not only infinite ammo, but high... impact ammo as well, because it was pulling from the last little bit of your health. So, what was that name? I'm going to have to look
it up. I know what you're talking about.
Destiny 1.
Was it a sniper rifle?
No, it was a primary.
Not a scout rifle?
Exotic. Pulled from.
I can always
I have no idea.
Names.
I'm looking it up. It's going to tell me here in
I didn't play it that much. I didn't have the patience to go find calcified fragments, to be honest with you.
I remember doing that.
Doing it all or trying to?
I found
them all.
Yeah, found
good
them all.
Job, man.
It's not nearly as bad as the orbs in Crackdown, but...
Well, that was 300 of those, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, God, I'm never going to find it.
I think one of the most...
Touch of Malice.
Touch of Malice, okay.
That's what it was called. Okay. Touch of Malice.
Like a search for all these packages or whatever was GTA 5? The Leonora Johnson thing was like 50 pieces of a torn up confession letter thrown all over the city. You have to go find each piece to get the real story of what happened to her.
For which game?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
50 pieces.
Yeah, the killer?
Yeah. And when you find all 50, piece them together, then you get an extra mission that you confront the person who committed that murder. Yeah. But I have to look all over the entire map for 50 pieces of paper, basically.
Yeah. I remember the mushrooms and the other thing that turned you into the animals for a little bit. I remember that.
Oh, the God, what is that? What is that stuff?
Peyote?
Peyote. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it was. I just couldn't remember what it was. Touch of Malice was a final round of magazine regenerates and deals bonus damage at the cost of the player's life force. Three rapid kills will return a portion of the player's health.
How much of a pool we talk about here? Like a third of your bar for every trigger pull? Or
I can't remember
for
that one specifically. But what it does, it doesn't pull from your health. It goes in the primary slot because it's a sniper. Or not primary. It goes in the
power.
The power, yeah. It's the heavy.
Heavy weapon.
Because it's a sniper rifle. And I think it can hold like 7 at a time. And if you can land 3 precise shots, it returns 3 back to your thing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't pull like from your reserves. It magically generates 3 more bullets to put into your into your weapon. So it's one of those kind of game breaking things as well, because that can put you in a position to where you can easily bypass a challenge that was really meant to challenge you because number one, it's got range because it's a sniper rifle.
Yeah, of course.
So stay back in safety. As long as you're hitting those precise shots.
Precision shots, you'll never run out of ammo.
You'll never run out of ammo, and you sit there and take down the health. Because once you beat this mission, you got a 20-minute time limit to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you beat it and get the weapon, the heroic version of that, the hard mode version of that, spawns on the map, which you can go to anytime you want after that. The only way to get to it the first time is because of a public event that has to start on a certain planet. And it has to be a certain public event that only seems to regenerate every 45 minutes to an hour.
You recall which one it was? Or?
It was one of the... It's on Io, the planet Io. That's the yellow one?
Io, the moon, yeah.
It's where Asher is?
Yeah, Ashermere.
Yeah, Jupiter's moon.
Yeah. That's what I think. Was it a... I don't see Cabal Excavation, Taken Blight.
That's the one.
Taken Blight?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
You don't have to finish the public event.
Right.
What it does is it spawns the public event, the Taken Blight event spawns in that certain area that it always does. And a little ways away from it, a high-value target, a yellow bar guy, will spawn in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
If you can kill him, it opens up the portal. And you don't have to worry about the Taken Blight thing, but that's the only way he comes is when the Taken Blight public event starts.
Yeah.
So whenever he shows up, kill him, the portal opens up. Once you go into the portal, you've got 20 minutes to finish that level.
So it's probably not a coincidence that Io is the flashpoint this week right now.
Right. So, yeah. There's a couple of things that seem to have nobody can figure out how long that's been there. That's the thing. No one can figure out, like, when did they put this in? Was this time gated? Because there was an article in Game Informer that was just released, I guess, this week that talked about the new expansion coming up,
right?
And had some ties to the Taken and that sort of thing, which this is all about Taken and whatever the enemy faction that's in the game. And so some people think it was time gated for that. It is happening on the planet that almost everybody right now is on,
right?
People are wondering, well, if they do, when next week's Flashpoint is on a different planet, will there be something to chase there? So the heroic mission opens up after you finish this one. So once you get the weapon, you can go back through it with the weapon, but everybody is higher level and harder to kill. So some guy soloed it. He got through it, got all the way to the end room where three yellow bar targets pop up. He stays in the back with his sniper rifle and just boom, 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 just keeps going, never runs out of ammo.
Infinite ammo, yeah. As long as your shots are pure, infinite ammo, just keep going from there. Yeah.
Then other people started doing the same thing. They're like, okay, I got it. I got my sniper rifle. Let's go do the heroic. They went into the heroic. So people started finding chests. And so there's five of them now. If you open up all five of the chests, it spawns something else at a certain point in the room when you're in there. And some other things have to happen. You get a blueprint for an exotic ship. So then there's that. So now people are like, what else is in this thing that we haven't discovered just yet? How long has it been in there? And that's right. This is the fun part of Destiny.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that any of the other stuff that I always talk about what I do is necessarily fun. It's grindy. And we've talked about this before, that I can complain about this game until my tongue falls out, but yet I still sit there and play it because the mechanics of it are still great. The shooting is still just, there's a satisfaction from the way Bungie does their shooting mechanics and everything else that are it's just so satisfying and works so well.
Especially on PC, from what you tell us, yeah.
Yes, very much so. That's exactly what I've been doing, and played Drop Mix.
Yes.
So that's what I've done. Have I played anything else? No, I haven't played anything else. I did pick up Hitman on the cheap, though.
Yeah, jealous.
I'm telling you, man, you need to follow that Wario 64.
I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I was in the middle of playing something where I couldn't get out of it. And by the time I was saved and got out and like looked it up, the deal was already done.
Because I
also had to look up, you know, all right, how do I cancel a pre-order on Steam?
You don't have to. That's the thing, though. You didn't have to cancel your Steam one first. You could have just bought the one at reduced price, then gone back and canceled.
Yeah.
And you'd have been fine.
Because I had the base game, not the gold edition.
Right. The deal was is that, and again, there's a guy on Twitter. If you're ever on Twitter, and right now, Twitter's horrible. But
right now, normally Twitter's horrible.
Honestly, yes. I love Twitter, not because of the horrible things that come from it.
I'm a masochist.
There's plenty of people that I follow that post.
It depends on who you follow.
Yeah. Perfectly. Most of the people I follow are game people, and I don't mean people that play games. I mean people that make games or publishers or other developers and people in the community, which, again, is not that the gaming community is not the best in the world that are, as far as displayed, publicly displayed in articles and things like that. You only really ever hear about the bad things.
I like to follow Star Wars fans.
Right. We all have our things that we follow, man.
Because, you know, that's not a toxic group.
So I follow this guy. Wario64 is his name. W-A-R-I-O and then 64. That's his name. He's on Twitter. Really, the only thing you'll ever get from him are deals after deals after deals.
Yes.
Some of them are good. Some of them are not. Sometimes you get, like, he tweeted out the, what is this? Oh, yeah. Tweeted out the Glass trailer from yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, here's the trailer for the movie Glass. You know, so just, and I was like, oh, that happened because I was in a restaurant. It's like, oh, here we go. Let's watch it. So,
Haven't seen it yet.
I think I posted it.
I haven't seen Split either, so.
Oh, you should really watch it.
I need to watch that before I.
It's a sequel, isn't it?
It is. Glass. Well, Glass is, yeah, the sequel Glass to Unbroken.
Yeah, I guess so. If you don't count
Continuation?
Split, yeah.
They're all in that universe, I guess.
Okay, I haven't seen Split. Haven't seen Unbreakable.
Oh, well, if you haven't seen
Well, then never mind.
Go watch Unbreakable. Unbreakable's good.
Okay.
Then watch Lady in the Water.
What? That has nothing to do with any of those.
Well, same director.
Don't pay attention to Matt.
Then watch Last Airbender. Yeah.
Again, don't pay attention to Matt.
It was terrible.
Go watch Unbreakable, then go watch Split, and then you'll be ready for Glass.
Okay.
There you go. So anyway, going back, Wario64, he posts these deals. And to this week, he posted, sometimes he posts price errors.
Yes. You got to be quick.
That's the fun. If the mysteries of Destiny are the fun part of Destiny, the price errors are the fun part of Wario64 because they don't happen often. And when they do, you got to be on top of it to catch it. So Hitman 2 was on Green Man Gaming, and the Gold Edition, which normally retails for $99 or $100.
Half off, was it?
I paid $45.
Yeah.
The problem was is that they had the retail version of the Gold Edition at $60. And they were taking off the 20% or whatever it was to down to $45. They had the regular edition retail at like $40, and it was down to like $22 or something. Yeah. So they had their retail stuff all messed up. It was all wonky, which is why I picked up Hitman 2 Gold Edition, something I would have had to. Well, I'd never paid $100 for it, but something that normally cost $100, I got $45. And the game comes out in, what, November?
November. Yeah. Have you already added it to your Steam library?
Oh, I've already added it to the Steam library, yeah. Oh, yeah, easily.
I was going to say, you could always gift it to, you know.
No. Matt.
Someone who actually plays the game.
You keep wanting these free things from me.
Well, just because I know you're not going to play it.
What do you mean you know I'm not going to play it?
Oh, did you play The Last Hitman?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have it. I don't know. I may still have it installed. I don't know.
All right.
I told you I played it, and I didn't play much because I felt like I was burning through it.
Yeah.
You know, because I bought it when it released, and this was, I got Hitman, by the way, on a price error. It was during a Black Friday deal.
Mm-hmm.
GameStop had it they had it wrong. For about a hot minute, they had that one and Tomb Raider and a couple of others for like $12.
Oh, jeez.
The full edition thing for like $12. And I got that one. So I got that on a price error as well.
Oh, that's right. You got it after the whole season was done, right?
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. I played through it, and I just said, I wish I would have gotten this when it came out episodic, because it feels like I'm wasting these levels. I'm just going through them. I do the kill, and I could go back through it and do it differently, but there doesn't feel a reason to, since there's another level waiting for me, another complete level waiting for me to do it.
Or you could go back now and do, like, the escalation missions.
Right. There's plenty to do there, but it just... Because it's all there for me to just it's like a buffet, you know. I don't want to spend too long eating one meal when there's plenty more on the table for me to take samples of.
All right. So fair enough.
Yeah. So that's why I wish they'd have stuck to the
episodic. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have too.
Very much so.
You know, when episode, I heard that they're doing
episode 3, I think is free right now.
Yes, the Marrakesh.
Marrakesh, yeah, episode 3 of the
which is a good level.
Season 1 is free. So yeah, I picked that up and
I got the Shadow of War for like $5 price error.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was on that one too.
So, yeah, when he does some of the price errors, and some of them are like really really good like that,
damn.
You got to jump on it
quick.
You
do, because they go fast, which is why I told you you should have just went ahead and bought it and then canceled your Steam pre-order.
Yeah.
You know? So
I should have, but oh well. Hey, I'm still going to play the game, and I'm sure I'll get the season pass for it.
So yeah, that's what I played. What about RJ?
I was grinding away in Destiny 2 as well, trying to get some levels up on all my characters. Played a little of Grand Theft Auto Online, as I said before. Trying to grind in there as well. A lot of grindy games I was playing lately.
That's what keeps us coming back. Honestly,
yeah,
is the grind.
Yeah, you got to pick up Destiny 2 expansion.
The Forsaken expansion? Yeah. I will. Yes, I'll be there.
Day one?
I haven't bought it yet, but I will get it.
I thought you got the season pass.
No, I got the season pass. Season's over with, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a brand new thing.
Yeah, season pass only did those two expansions. Yeah. Osiris and Warmind, which is what we're doing now.
So more expansions, you have to get another season pass?
Well, it's like just like Taken King.
It's like that thing with Destiny. Like, you bought Destiny, then Taken King came out. That was a brand new game. That was when I jumped on.
Yeah,
with,
I jumped on
Taken King. So, yeah, I got
kind of a full
part,
price
so, yeah.
expansion type situation.
Yeah.
It's not an expand alone, because you do need the base game and the two expansions to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of its own thing. It's basically, it's year two.
It's a new expansion with a season pass, so three more DLC.
Yeah, the annual pass, I think, is what they're calling it.
So basically, so, it's another $60, basically.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which is why I haven't done it yet. I've got until September, but I'll be there with everybody else.
Yeah,
I say with everybody else. Everybody except Lethal Migraine.
yeah. Also played. We had a little tournament at GT last night.
Ooh.
We played Street Fighter V.
Okay,
got third in that. Hadn't played in a while, but it was fun getting
rusty.
A little rusty. So it was fun knocking the rust off, playing some games with the folks. Learned a bit, which you do in every tournament.
Yeah,
playing games like that, you're going to learn a little something like that. So what I learned is that I got to learn how to do the matchup between Nash and Minot, that character. It's like a it's a ranged character, so it's hard to get in there. When you do get in, it's even harder then, because I kept getting beat to the punch on some of those things. So, learning little bits here and there so I can practice and learn how to prepare for that next time around. So congrats to Kenny for winning the tournament. We'll have to do this again next time. But, that's pretty much what I played.
Do you know if GT has drop mix in their bar?
No, I don't think they do.
Okay. Not saying that they would, because, again, you do need – then again – all they got to do is buy the board and the cards. The app is free. Anybody can put the app on their phone and bring it in and start playing.
And I think someone's got a tablet out there for. I think they got a tablet out there for the
Hearthstone and stuff.
Yeah, things like that. So yeah,
they could hook that up and.
You could bring your own cards.
You could bring your own cards and play. I'm trying to think though.
Although getting those mixed in with. The other person's card.
Well, it's not just that, but half the fun of playing that game is getting the mix right, or not getting the mix right, but hearing the mix.
Yeah.
And if you're in a loud bar type situation, I don't know how well you can hear it or whatever. Sometimes it can be fun. Sometimes you can have good mixes. Sometimes you can have
bad,
horrible mixes. So that's what you played, RJ?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Matt?
I got back into Elite Dangerous.
Oh, okay. I saw Kevin fire that up last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing tonight.
Okay.
I'll
be playing Destiny again.
You know, I've tried it here and there and, from time to time, and it just never quite clicked. But I was able to, I'm like, I got my flight stick. I want to try it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just loaded it back up and like, all right, it's been a year since I played it. So trying to figure out all right, I have to remap everything first off.
Yeah.
So I guess in a good way, it's been so long that I forgot how I had my my flight stick mapped.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. So I think I got something that's pretty intuitive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got buttons and then alt buttons and then shift buttons and everything. So I could do really anything, using just my controller, my flight stick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, where am I in the galaxy? What am I doing? And I'm just trying to figure that out. And then I'm just taking it slow. Doing some missions, trying to earn some money and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, it's starting to click now.
Yeah.
I'm like starting to get into that zone.
Yeah, how long did it take for you to get there?
I've had it for over a year now, so.
Well, because you know how it is when you stop playing a game for a little while, and you have to relearn everything and the controls, yeah.
I think it was good for me because, having to relearn it because I'm sort of coming at it fresh instead of I used to have it set up this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew some basic stuff when you go to land into a star port or something like that. Mm-hmm. I had my my controls and throttle set to my hat switch, for fine tuning, just so I could slightly maneuver left, right, up, forward, back, and then up and down.
Is it landing or docking?
Docking.
Okay.
But unlike other games where you just click a button and auto dock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, as you approach a station or something that you could dock to, like big star port or anything like that. Headset's going out. Anyways, as you approach, you actually have to call them up and ask for permission to dock.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're at a certain distance, and they'll all right, permission granted, dock at, you know, docking bay 42.
Okay.
Like, so then you enter in and you have to like find out where, you know, your specific place to dock is. And then like you have to drop your landing gear, you come in and you have to like actually align up your ship properly with the docking station.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't, you know, come in cattywampus or anything like that. You actually have to have it perfectly, you know, aligned up pretty good into, you know, where you need to be, and then like lower it down, and then mm-hmm. you're docked. You feel like a sense of accomplishment when you yeah. do that. You're like, yeah, I just landed this thing.
I bet there's a lot of blooper reels about people trying to dock and messing up.
Probably like yeah. new people doing that. And then like when you leave, you have to like, you know, there's traffic coming in and out of the, you know, the starport and everything. Mm-hmm. I actually like ran into a guy once by mistake. I'm like, oops,
yeah.
sorry.
And, yeah.
you know, the station started yelling at me about, you know, what are you doing? And so I'm enjoying this. I've been mm-hmm. Right now what I've been doing is basically a tour guide. You know, I'll go to a starport. I'll, you know, look through the message board. You know, like I upgraded my ship for cabins, you know, for people to, you know, so I could ferry people around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, all right, this guy's going to pay me $3 million to go to three different star systems. And, you know, all right. So that's what I'm doing right now. I just like, I get some, you know, people in, and then I'll fly around to different star systems, you know, like sort of tour the galaxy.
Yeah.
And then come back and get paid like pretty good amount of money.
Mm. Earn that cash, man.
Anything else? Did you play?
That's it.
Oh, just that? Okay. And Drop Mix.
Yeah, and Drop Mix.
We'll talk about that when we come back, but we've also got somebody on the phone when we come back as well. So, Crawdad, hang on the line. We got to take our first break. So there is a theme here. You're going to get a whole lot of 8-bit loving out of this one. if you like 8-bit music, you're going to enjoy all the songs that we got today. There is a running theme.
8-bit theme?
Right, you know. I would love to say that that's the theme. That isn't. I think it's a little, again, too broad. It is not a full year of these games came from this year. I think it's a little too broad, but, you know, I looked up one song, liked the sound of it, had to find some way to connect it to other songs I was going to use, and that's what I came up with. Anyway, this is music from a game called Pac-Mania. The track is called Pac-Man's Park. For an 8-bit musical whatever, for an 8-bit track, this thing has amazing variations.
Hmm.
For a Pac-Man game, for a game called Pac-Mania, this thing is just... it's a force. Yeah. Because
that game was fun, man.
It starts off with this. It starts off, I don't know if it starts off with a familiar Pac-Man tune, but a familiar Pac-Man tune is in it. And then it goes and it has these changes, these beat changes, and things change up. And it
did that come out on the NES?
Changes in melody and stuff like that. I want to say it did.
Pac-Mania I played in the
arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here it is.
You got a remix.
Yeah, I want to say they did.
Yeah.
I may be thinking of Pac-Land or Pac... I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. RJ got this one right off the bat. Well, I mean, it took him a minute, but he's like, whoa, that's familiar. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, nailed it.
Yep. What was it?
Paperboy.
Oh, I... frustrated. That game was so frustrating.
Let me guess. The kid on the big wheel.
Just the game. The entirety of that game was nothing but an exercise in frustration.
How so? I mean, what... What parts of it? All of it? Just
all of it.
The control of the bike?
Yes.
Was that hard for you? Did you play it in the arcade?
I forget. I think like the
it was
NES.
It was one with the bike control. Yeah. They had the handlebars in the arcade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Yeah. One of the biggest thrills I got from there was pegging the burglar at distance with a rolled up newspaper.
There's a burglar?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even get that far.
Wow.
Well, the fact that RJ heard just a couple of notes from this was like, oh, hey, Paperboy.
Yeah.
One of RJ's favorites. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. On the phone is Crawdad, who had to wait for a pretty long time. I apologize.
No problem.
Welcome to the show.
Matt, what was that game you were describing before you guys cut to a break about flying around in aircraft? Tell me, what was that?
It's a spacecraft. It's called Elite Dangerous. It's
Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, it's basically way back in the 80s, there was a game called Elite. And it was an old not ray trace, but vector graphic game like they had back in the day, like my old F-15 game that I used to play on my Apple. But they redid it. It's called Elite Dangerous.
Okay.
You are a captain or a commander of a starship, and it's up to you to what you want to do. Do you want to be a pirate? Do you want to be a lawman? Do you want to... I'm actually... One of the things I want to do with my friend Kevin, I'm trying to save up to get a big enough cruiser where we could do multi-crew, where he could, sit next to me. And, like, the ship that I have now is a smaller one, but, he could actually join into my ship and man a turret.
So you're saving up in-game funds.
Yes.
To buy
a bigger ship.
Yeah, no.
I want basically like a C-130 of the, in space.
Of the space.
Yeah, I want a big cargo ship.
I
could do transport. I could do people, stuff like that. I still have defenses and stuff. Yeah. So if I get I've been attacked by pirates a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm jumping between star systems, they'll like try and do like a space interdiction where they
ambush.
Yeah, they take you out of the light speed, and you have to try and evade out of it. Or if you don't successfully evade, then you get jumped out of light speed, and they'll start attacking you. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, you have to defend yourself. But it's kind of open on what you want to do. You could take bounties. You could be a bounty hunter. All this kind of stuff. But I don't know. For me, I just the idea of just being like a space ferrying kind of cargo guy.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it, it sounds interesting. I
like it.
About the time you guys were talking about, dadgummit, shoot, hold on a second. What was that? The guy that went around and whacked people.
Ran around and whacked people? Oh, Hitman?
Yeah, that. When,
yeah.
When did that come out? How long ago?
Oh, God, the original Hitman?
Yeah, the original was PlayStation 2 era.
I was going to say Xbox PlayStation 2.
Yeah, early 2000s.
I can look that up for you.
Was it early 2000s or before that?
It feels like it was before that.
Really?
I don't know. I'm going to look this up for you and find out.
Let me tell you, when that game came out, a friend of mine had that. We used to play...
No, the first release was November of 2000.
Okay.
We used to, Friday nights, eat pizza and play games. And he had that and came over with it. The controls made us crazy, controls made you crazy. But what really just got me right off the get-go is this guy, the bald-headed dude with the
tattoo,
barcode
on
his head, his favorite go-to was a couple of AMT long slide stainless 45 hardballers.
Yeah, the silver ballers is what he called
them. Which I had at the time. That's what blew me away. Arcadia Machine and Tool in California actually made those before the game ever came out. I guess that's why they must have liked it and put that in the game.
The Hitman series has changed a lot in the 18 years since it's been out. I played a majority of them. I like the direction they're at now and where they're going. I have a fun time with it.
All that sneaking around and not getting seen, and then it was a fun game.
And
you guys, every now and then y'all have mentioned, you know, I found something at the store and it was greatly reduced, and I'm just thinking, wow, you know, y'all are baiting me to go into the GameStop place and look.
Well, most of the stuff that I try, I rarely stumble upon, like just out and about stumble upon things that are marked down. Basically, it was like I said, I follow a guy on Twitter, and I get everything he tweets about goes straight to my phone as a text message. And he doesn't tweet out things like, oh, today I'm having
soup,
you know, corned beef and hash or something like that. He doesn't talk about those things. The only stuff that he posts are pretty much things that interest me.
Really?
It's going to be video game sales.
Yeah.
And he posts links to those so I can just click on whatever he sends and it'll take me right to the Amazon store page or wherever it happens to be that I'm buying it from. And he gets a little cutback from that. Obviously it's the, you know, he gets a little, I don't know, a few cents off of everybody that buys it. So a lot of the times he'll be posting sales that are all around the internet saying here's a sale for this. And then occasionally, every once in a while, you'll get something like we did, which was a price error. And it'll be, you know, there was just the other night, I don't necessarily know that it was a price error, but because he posted, they were a two pack of Glade air fresheners.
Yeah, for 19 cents?
19 cents. And it was on Amazon, and it was a Prime item, so you could get free shipping.
Wow.
So, yeah, not everything is games related.
So I just said, oh, the hell with it. I bought 10, which means I actually, since they're a two-pack, I actually was buying 20, and I paid $2. With tax, $2, that's with tax. Now, I recently got an email from them today that said we're canceling that order because we can't fulfill it. Sometimes
too many people were trying to get it.
But what they did was, we're sorry for the inconvenience. Here's $5 credit.
Nice.
And so I've got $5 on my Amazon account. That's on top of the $10 I got from Amazon because they were selling, as it turns out, pirated games.
Oh, no.
They didn't know about it. But there were some games being sold through them, through Amazon. I posted about this last week in our forum things or whatever, saying that, hey, this game that normally retails for like $23 is down to $3. So you know, go grab it. You can't use it on Steam or anything like that. You can only download it directly from Amazon. And it was kind of strange, but a lot of people did this. Turns out those games were pirated. Although once you've got it installed on your system, you're good to go. But I never got around to the installation. But they refunded me the $3 or whatever that I spent and then gave me a $10 credit. So now I've got, you know, because of some price errors, I've got $15 sitting in my Amazon and I haven't spent a dime.
That's good business that they're doing. That's good business.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know. I know you listen to the morning show, and sometimes we'll talk about the ways we spend our money, and I'll tell you how stupid I can be, and then I'll tell you exactly the same. I'll spend ungodly amount on some stupid stuff, but yet I'll walk into a store for food and think, I wonder if there's a coupon I can get a couple of bucks off.
Yeah.
You know? My mother asked me one time, she said, I'm sending your brother to Hardee's to get a hamburger. What do you want? And I said, oh, I want one of that new all-American cheeseburger that just came out. She says, oh, no, you can't have that. That's a $5 hamburger.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll take two of the 99-cent burgers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not necessarily looking for the cheapest item on the menu or anything, but I do like to find, again,
hey, man, you work hard, spend your money on what you like.
Yeah,
you know?
I know,
that's how you can afford to buy some of the crazy stuff.
That's the way it works. Crawdad, thanks for calling in, man.
Take care.
You too.
You got to support your steelbook addiction.
I was about to say, put it in a steelbook.
Haven't bought a lot of steelbooks lately. They haven't released. I think the last one, well, actually, it was this week. I picked up Rampage in 4K. They had a steelbook for that. I think next week is Ready Player One, but they're kind of staggered out here. There's not really. There was a time when it was like every week I was walking into Best Buy to pick up the steelbook, but kind of backed off a little bit of those.
Did it look nice, the Rampage one?
The Rampage, it was all right. The back of the Rampage box is better than the front. I could do without Dwayne Johnson on the front of my movie box.
No, what? He's the star, though, so.
Yeah.
He is, but the back of it has all three monsters about to attack each other, and I'm like, that's a better shot.
Rock the Dwayne Johnson?
What? yes.
I saw some artwork that I think they're having at San Diego Comic-Con that I was really tempted to buy. It's a scene from a guy did some artwork from The Last Jedi of the end where Luke's meditating on on the rock, and then when you turn the lights out, he actually did a layer in glow in the dark, and it shows the battle between Luke and Kylo. Mm-hmm. So depending on whether or not the lights are on or off is what you're seeing, and I'm like, that's actually kind
of
neat.
It's like what you see in the turn of the lights is what he's thinking about.
Yeah,
the future
or what he's doing.
What
he's doing
in the future. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to see. They're talking about the way I spend my money in the.
Hey, whatever.
In the room there. So, well, I know I was going to show my recent addition to the to the thing,
to the collection.
What'd you get?
Yeah, you saw the arm.
Oh yeah, I wanted that. How much?
Wait, the arm.
Well, yeah, Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The problem.
How much was
two?
That?
I think it was like 130.
Yeah, because I saw that and I was like, man, that's super, super, super tempting.
Yeah.
The one for two, right?
Huh? Yes.
Two? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. One. Because I already have...
The one that Miles Dyson takes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I already have the head.
Okay.
When they...
You're just working on your Terminator.
Right? I know. When they put T2 out on Blu-ray, they did the head. And then when they put it on 4K, they did the arm.
You're going to be like when you get the Marvel action figures, how they have the extra body part.
Yeah,
in.
I'm just building it as it goes along. Yeah,
buy these five to make this one.
Soon, Scott's going to have his own Terminator.
I know. So there's something that it's like, here, I'll spend this, and then I'm sitting here talking to you about, I spent $2 on some air freshener because it was
that's a lot of air freshener.
It was a pack
that was
of
a deal.
20 for $2.
I mean, that's just
it was
a deal.
It was a deal.
So
I
have it.
I know, but I didn't get it though.
Yeah,
but yeah, I ended up getting $5
out
of it.
You got something
You were going to spend two, but you got five in return. So
yeah, something even better
good
than
job,
20 things of air conditioner is $5.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was nice. What are we going to talk about? Anything? Because I don't know. Well, I was going to talk about that whole Amazon thing, but we covered that already, where they sold some pirated copies of Frostpunk and Surviving Mars, and some others were in there as well.
See, Surviving Mars is the one I wanted.
Yeah. They were all pirated games, which, from what I understand, there was no malicious software in the download or everything like that. There wasn't anything that was going to harm your computer.
From my understanding, I think they got it from Good Old Games.
They got it from GOG, yeah.
And, which is DRM-free, so you could just,
Yeah, I know.
Do stuff like that.
But I know that some of the developers said that is not our full situation. That's not our thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is pirated. You will not be getting updates, when you put it in there. You won't get updates from us.
Crazy that it knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that Amazon doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So, what else do we have? Oh, yeah, that Uncharted fan film.
Oh, my goodness. I am so hoping that this is kind of like how Ryan Reynolds did the, the little teaser for Deadpool before Deadpool was actually made. He did that little 15 minute Deadpool short,
yeah,
I guess, that got people interested in make. For those who don't know, Nathan Fillion from Firefly fame did a 18 minute short fan film of Uncharted where he plays Nathan Drake. Mm-hmm. Which people have been asking for that for, I guess, a good while. And I believe the Uncharted movie's kind of been in, development purgatory for, a couple of years now.
Has it?
I think so.
Yeah, well, no, it has. It's gone from different directors and writers and that sort of thing. I don't know whose doorstep it's sitting on at the moment, but I don't think anything is happening with it. So,
yeah, he did this little 18-minute... Did you watch it, RJ?
No, I didn't even know about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was talking with some coworkers about this, because they were saying how video game movies are bad. For the most part, I would agree.
Usually they are, yeah.
Because I think that I recently saw the newest Tomb Raider that they did, and it was all right.
Yeah, no, right home about it. I mean, I think one of the problems.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I mean, I looked at reviews and everything about it. It was like average, really. But I think the problem is for video game movies is there's too much material to work with, and there's so much stuff cut out.
I think what goes into that is when you look at like the video game movies, with the exception of like one or two that maybe that I personally like, Silent Hill I thought was good.
Yeah,
but you know, especially like this new Tomb Raider and stuff, what they're doing is they're taking the plot of the game and telling that in movie form, as opposed to just taking the characters from the game, which is why, as much as I personally didn't like the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movies, just because, whatever, I liked them better than this new one because those weren't games I already played. Those were just like, here's Lara Croft doing other Lara Croftian things.
Right.
Whereas this new one, okay, yeah, as much as I like the actress and I thought she did a good job as Lara Croft.
Vikander?
I'm like, I already played this, you know, when it came out. I play this game already. Or
so you didn't want to see anything based on a game, right? You
want to see something brand new. I wanted to see it in that world.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why I really liked the short film with the Uncharted, because he's not trying to go back and recreate Uncharted 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played Uncharted 1. Yeah. I know how it ends. I know the story of it.
Yeah.
This is like a whole new thing of Drake, the further adventures of Nathan Drake.
Yeah, okay.
And that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it would have started off where he's like, you know, on the boat and with trying to find Francis Drake's coffin, I'm like, oh, all right, yay, it's a live action version of what I've already done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and most video game movies do that where they're retelling the stuff that you've already played, but in a shorter form because you only have like hour and a half to 2 hours as opposed to like 10, 20, however 12, long. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's where I get into when video games go bad. And then just sometimes they're just bad, even without, you know, rehashing the storyline. You know, I mean, if you get something like by Uwe Boll, there is just going to be a horrible experience no matter what you do.
Yeah, wouldn't it like if it was a lawsuit, the insurance paid for it or something like that? I mean, like it was just a bad film and it would be covered regardless.
Yeah, kind of like the producers.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if you make a terrible film, you're still going to get like more money
out of it.
I think he's like the video game version of the producers.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, springtime. Well,
let's see mess around and make a good one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he knows how to.
So we got that, and that opened up a bunch of interviews with Nathan Fillion, of course. Like, how did this get made? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, hey, what do you think about your... And this all goes back to Destiny. Because obviously he's not in the game when Forsaken releases because they kill off his character. Mm-hmm. That is not a spoiler. Trailer's all over showing that off. And apparently...
It's not really real either. I mean...
I know. Eurogamer has this where Nathan Fillion is replaced by Nolan North for his final appearance in Destiny. So Nolan North, who was already in Destiny...
He replaced Peter Dinklage.
He replaced Peter Dinklage, is now replacing Nathan Fillion for his character in there. Although his character's only going to be there for all of...
Whatever we know of.
I mean, I don't know how long.
Is Nolan North just on his way of like replacing everybody in Destiny? Just go down the list.
Well, I hope. I mean, he and Nathan kind of sounds just a little similar. Mm-hmm. I think he can pull off a Nathan Fillion voice for Cade, but what else do we need to go? What else we have? Sure. Let's go. It's top of the hour. We'll come back and talk about, there's plenty of stuff. I want to talk about Dropmix because you guys got to play it, and I kind of want to get your opinion of things. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. I brought Dropmix in. We're not going to set the thing up here and play a game, but at some point.
Or are we?
Yeah, I know. At some point, I'd love to feed the audio from the app into the board here so that I can put the audio out there and you guys can hear. And maybe put a camera down and do, and I don't know, we'll figure something out.
You can hear how bad our mixes were.
We could figure something out. Actually play a game live on the air. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more in-game chat. This is music from Smash TV. Again, it is 8-bit heaven all over the place.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Good luck.
He was saying live from Smash TV. You ever play the sequel, Total Carnage?
Yes.
Play that too, yeah.
It was like the video game version of the Schwarzenegger movie, Running Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. What was your guess on this one, RJ?
It was either, I'm probably going to get the name wrong. It was Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghosts and Goblins, one of the two.
Which one do you want to go with? Did they have the same? I'm curious.
Well, on the Genesis, it was Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay. Well, that would be Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ghosts and Goblins, Paperboy...
It's all 8-bit stuff.
Yeah. Pac-Man and... Pac-Mania. Pac-Mania. What's the...
What was the other one that we had? Smash TV.
Smash TV, yeah.
Really hard 8-bit games.
Hard for you. Some of them are not...
I don't know. Some folks called me Maskus for liking Ghouls and Ghosts. It was one of my favorite side-scrollers, man.
Yes.
It really was.
Yes.
8-bit Dead Souls.
Kind of, yeah.
Essentially. So, let's go to the phones. Chris, you said this?
Yes.
Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Rearranging the game cave as listening to y'all.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Glad you had us along.
Anyway, down the road sometime, a week or two or whatever, if y'all wanted to get together and, you know, like do a show and tell... I've got something absolutely amazing, an old system completed in box that I just recently got a box for off of eBay. And from all my looking on YouTube videos and everything, I've never seen one of these boxes, yet alone just only a few pictures of it. And I've got one almost, it's about 99% there.
And what is it again?
Mm. It's a box to an old gaming system.
What system?
TurboGrafx.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the old TG-16.
TurboGrafx-16,
yeah. Okay.
No, not the, you know, yeah, I've got the, actually, I've got all three systems completely in the box. The portable, the TurboGrafx-16, and what I'm talking about now is the TurboGrafx-TD system. I just got the box and the carton for everything. Even the manual came with it.
Weren't those super expensive, the games?
Well, the system,
is that the one?
No, that was the Philips. That was the Neo Geo.
Okay.
It's like the Neo Geo was like was real expensive.
Probably what you're thinking of. Yeah. Yeah, that's
like games are like 100 or so, or
they're about that much, or even more now. Just like everything else,
it was higher than that. It was basically the Neo Geo was basically an arcade board and the arcade slot that whole big size cartridge that went in there, and that was about a pretty penny. But then they released the Neo Geo CD, mm-hmm. and the prices were a lot more. Reasonable then.
I want to find an old Philips CDI and get like the Zelda sort of what Amalon or whatever, like the mm-hmm. the really bad, really,
the
really
Nightmare
bad.
Zelda game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good luck. I don't really care to, but it'd be nice if I ever run across one. But yeah.
So the TurboGrafx, you got the TurboGrafx CD?
Yeah, I got the TurboGrafx original box. I've got the CD system and the Turbo Express, the portable version.
Yeah. Any standout games on the CD?
Bonk.
A bunch.
A bunch, yeah. Yeah. When I think about TurboGrafx, I think about Bonk's Adventure.
Or Keith Courage.
Keith Courage and Alpha Zones.
I remember that one.
Legendary Axe. I remember those those games like that. But not many outside of that.
There was one on the TurboGrafx 16 that had an arcade version, and I always forget the name of it. And
what type of game was it?
It was a side-scrolling fantasy game where you could choose, I think, different characters. And I remember one had like a little mace, and I know I'm not explaining it well.
I know which one you're talking
about. This is like
about.
Back in like the late 80s.
Pause a moment there. Kadash?
Ooh, that sounds...
You Google it.
Was it two-player?
Possibly. I just remember... Kadash?
Let's see.
How do you spell that?
C-A-D-A-S-H, I believe.
Kadash.
Which I've got that one. In the original box, too.
But I remember playing this in the arcade I lived in Mississippi.
That's it?
I think that might be it. Yeah. But yeah, yes, that's the one. I love this game. Oh, yeah, wizard, the green, with his staff.
One of the, developed by Taito, yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember, I miss Taito. Yeah, mm-hmm. I played this game in the arcade so much when I was growing up, and... Mm-hmm. I always like regretted that I could never remember the name of it. Oh my gosh, Chris, you just
If we decide to get together and Scott gets with me later on and whatever y'all want to do sometime down in the future, if I can come in and bring those systems in the box, that'll be one of the ones I'll bring in because I've got it in the original paper box complete.
Yeah,
nice.
But yeah, that's that brings me back to when I was younger and the whole world was ahead of me instead of being old.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I remember the other old arcade game that was similar to that one called, I think it was Black Tiger.
Okay.
And that one was a fun one, too.
Sounds a little familiar.
I think I remember that one.
Black Tiger?
Black Tiger, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sword and sorcery type things. There was a lot of games like that. No, not the spider.
Nice memories, isn't it?
Good
times, man.
Back when we had arcades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like the social hangouts.
I know.
Remember the holographic game? We were the time jumper?
Time traveler,
yeah.
You were the cowboy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Zip around through time.
I got to the future and got killed by some R2-D2 wannabe looking thing scrolling around the bottom of the floor somewhere.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. The death screen where the electrified skull was looking at you. Yeah, that was a little traumatizing at the time.
I remember... Diamond Gyms, that was the one in Montgomery Mall. They had a fighting game that was supposed to be like even more crazier than Mortal Kombat, and there's like space, whatever, and like a bug with like chainsaw on.
Time Killers.
Was that what it was?
Rancid. I think the character you had was Mantas. Mantis,
okay, so I'm not just dreaming this all up.
Yeah, you would lose... A feature of that was you would lose limbs.
Yes.
You had a button for each limb, like one for left arm, left leg, right leg, and then one for head.
Uh-huh.
So and then if you lost like both your arms, you would use your head to basically try to headbutt your opponent to submission. Didn't work, of course. Most of the time it didn't work. So it was short-lived. People played, they didn't. A lot of folks I played didn't like it, and they just left it alone. I think one worse than that was one called Survival Arts. That was really bad.
I don't remember that one.
Be thankful. Okay. Survival Arts.
I've never heard of it, too, and from what RJ is saying, I'm glad of it.
Oh, it was heinous what that game was. It was,
I remember all the classics, like the Mortal Kombat series, the Primal Raids, and what was the other one? Killer Instinct.
Yeah. Came back on Xbox One. An exclusive title on that. I saw some tournaments in that. It was it's pretty good game, that one.
Yeah, good old memories.
Well, appreciate you calling in, Chris, and hope you get that game cave cleared out or done what you need to do with it anyway.
Well, I'm getting there. Yeah, putting stuff somewhere else so I can put some more things up on top of another shelf.
I know how that goes. Trust
creative, creative rearranging. That's what you're doing right now. Yep.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. So you guys played Drop Mix before we came on the show, and this is a game that I found not last week, but the week before last.
It was on special deal.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't a price error. It was just massively 75% off. You know,
which
normally runs $100, which is its first problem. The game does not need to be $100.
No.
That's horrible.
It prevented me from getting it.
Yeah. But Amazon, I think, has it for $50, but sometimes they'll drop it down to like $30 or something like that. I know some GameStops, in store only, you could pick them up for $20, but there's hardly a store around us that has them anymore. Mm-hmm. They're kind of getting rid of the stock. One of the things, one of their card packs was exclusive to Toys R Us. So that's kind of in the wind now. I'm hoping that, I don't know.
There are Toys R Us elsewhere.
Huh?
I think there's Toys R Us like in Europe and Canada. Still.
Canada, yeah. But I don't necessarily know that extended into out of
the U.S.
Out of North America, or the U.S.
So get like Brock to send us some stuff.
I think they'll play. They probably will play.
I'll see why.
I don't know if they're region locked,
right? I don't know. It's an RF chip, you know. It's a whatever. It's a chip inside the card. So who knows?
Try and play, and all it goes like no. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh, they're closed in Canada as well.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yep.
Darn it, Thar. You're really wrecking our
outside of North America. Then, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right the first time.
So, yeah, but they're hinting at season two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, see how that goes.
I wonder if, like, season two, like, if it's going to have, like, a whole new board or if it's just going to be, here's a card set.
I think they are doing something with a board for season two.
In case, kind of like how Rock Band 2, you had the, you know, you could buy the whole thing or you could get, you know, if you already have Rock Band.
Right, exactly. I don't think, I think if you have a board from season one, you're not going to be left out or anything.
I would hope not.
I think you'll be
price.
Fine. Everything still works and that sort of thing. But I think they are redoing the board for season two. So, yeah, we're just kind of waiting for that info to trickle in. They've got a booth at Comic-Con, or at least Hasbro has a booth at Comic-Con, which Hasbro is the company that publishes the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Harmonix is the company that developed the game.
So Hasbro's the money people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which is why you have a Transformers card and a G.I. Joe card.
Oh, yeah.
That's why those exist as promo cards that are selling on eBay for like $80 per card.
Ugh.
So I brought the game in for... Yes. Matt's been really curious about this
game. I am. I like, you know me, I like weird technology gimmicky thingies. You know, I'm a sucker for that. And, I mean, music's been a huge part of my life.
This is the board.
You know, I'm used to play instruments and, you know, been a DJ on a rock station when I was younger. And so, you know, like, I love music. So... Mm-hmm. Something like this where it's a gimmicky technology thing centered around music.
Yeah,
it's got my interest.
Yeah. Did you play Beatmania?
Oh, yeah.
I did a little bit.
Yeah, that's because I still got my turntable up control over
there. I'm not good at DJing.
I was going to say, there's another game Harmonix did that was DJ Hero.
I tried that as well.
Yeah.
I am not good at DJing.
I picked up that game on a really reduced
price.
I have not even opened the box. I know where that box is still sitting.
Because, I mean, you know.
Oh, you got a collectible.
A difference between, like, you know, back in the day when I was younger and not old like I am now. I'm in that kick of like, I'm old. I was surrounded by young kids today, so it's got me thinking about, like, man, I'm not young. But anyways, I used to play bass guitar.
Okay.
You know, back when, you know, or play at the bass guitar, you know, playing bass and pleasure good.
Pick it
but
up again.
I really need to. Well, I got rid of my guitar.
Oh.
To a friend before I joined the military. And I've been thinking about, like, getting an acoustic bass.
Okay.
You know, just for fun and, you know, to get back into it because... I miss that. I miss, you know, creative side. You know, I still create stuff with, like, my artwork and, you know, computer art and stuff like that. But, like, being able to do music and stuff and just, like, you know, play around on a fret, you know, board. And I kind of miss that. But so, you know, like, when Scott did some mix, like they put in our chat a while back, you know, like a week or so ago, it just really got my interest up. I'm like, man, that's a really good mix that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying, like, you know, at the beginning of the show, that like you could do some really interesting things with this, or you could throw out the banjo card like we did earlier.
Sometimes it works,
and
sometimes
just like
it
sometimes
doesn't.
It does not. And you're just like, oh no, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's going in.
Like Scott said earlier, that'll get you thrown out the club.
Yeah,
violently.
Yeah, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. That's the fun of it, is that
you're not sure, like, oh, is this drum beat going to go with the keyboard part?
Right. When you're playing freestyle, when you're doing the freestyle thing and just laying cards down to make different mixes, it's one thing, because you can look through and be like, I wonder if this works. Ah, that doesn't work. Pull it off. Playing freestyle is not as much fun as playing a game together, because when you play a game together,
you're really limited.
It's very random. You're limited, and that forces you to use cards that you normally wouldn't use, and there it kind of use cards that you normally wouldn't use, and so then you can get mixes that you normally wouldn't get. You know, if you were playing freestyle, you're like, I'm not using this card. I'm not going to use that. That's not going to work well. But when you're forced to, you put it down there, and then you find out, oh, wow, that works extremely well.
Yeah. Or so, the other hand was, oh, wow, that does not work at all.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's the problem with my experience playing the game was old music, you know, something from the 70s and 80s. Yeah, I know that song fine.
I think
but something current, I'm like, I have no idea who this band is.
New music landed like early 2000s, you know, where like about 18 years ago is like when I really stopped listening to the radio.
Yeah.
You know, so like all these, you know, new bands out nowadays, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like when I was playing that, I'm like, I don't know who this is. Well, let's see what happens when I put this here.
So the
bad things happened. Yes.
When I was playing against RJ before the show started, and we were playing around together, and he beat me really well on it.
It was only about, 3 points?
Oh, it was more than that. But I played one card, and like you said, it had a banjo in it. That was Miss Jackson by Outkast.
Okay.
For some reason, the guitar part for that is, I guess, a banjo, because that was the card that I played. And I'm like,
because that thing automatically alters the tempo to make everything match, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
I wonder if that's what it was.
Picked up at a high pitch, but yeah, it stood out.
It did.
Everything in there stood out. It was like, so it was like
you have a drum, you have a keyboard, you have vocals,
drums, keyboard,
all this stuff.
Vocals.
But all I could hear is that banjo playing. You're like, oh,
yeah, it stuck out
weird.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, that's what I'm saying.
That would be,
you would have never thought of it regardless.
Party game.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a fun thing to do, get around some people, you know, have some drinks and, like, play that. You know, that would be a good thing to throw in the mix.
But I'm glad you guys got to play a full game. It was close there.
Yeah.
I was not close as in score. It was close to us going on the air.
Yeah.
And
no,
still
the score
playing
was
this
not
game.
Close.
No.
I got beat really bad.
It's the verse to 21. We could have changed that. First off, you can change when you're playing verses. You can set a timer so that the other person has, like, every time your turn starts, you've got a certain amount of time to make your turn happen.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I noticed, like when I was playing the verses, I didn't want to just, as I was playing it, I didn't want to just throw the cards down right away, because I wanted to mix it into, like, wait for a progression. You know, in the song that was like, you know, because
it does that itself.
I know it does. But it's like an ever-evolving song. But, you know, like have it play a little bit to see where it's going, then see, you know, like lay this in, then have it, you know, go into it, instead of just like bam, bam, and then like have it alter right away. You know, I don't know. It was really interesting.
That's fine though, because you didn't have a time limit on yours. You can also set the score to like 15 or 21, the first to 15 instead of 21, which is what I should have done. I thought the game would go a little bit faster, but obviously it didn't. So, but you guys did finish it, and RJ won it. So, I don't know. Did it still hold your attention then?
Yeah.
Is that something like, ooh, okay, I really want to get into this, right?
Yeah, you know, I just want to like take off my earphones, ignore you guys, and start playing with the music.
Yeah, I understand.
You'd have bad mixes going all over the air.
I would.
I may bring it back again next week, because there's another guy in the building who I keep telling him about it, and I thought he'd be here today, but he wasn't. So, I may bring it back next week as well. And maybe hopefully have some more cards then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Goodness, how many cards will come with that? It's like,
there's 300. Well, they come with it?
Yeah.
I can't remember how many cards. I think 60 cards come with it.
60 comes with it, and you say there's 300 plus?
There's 300 total in Season 1. 300 some odd total in Season 1.
You
got
to collect them all.
Yeah. And then there's those three promo cards that are very
hard to find. The exotic rare ones.
Yeah. G.I. Joe Transformers, what was the third one?
It's a theme to a video game, actually, and I can't remember what it is. But it's a theme to a video game. And those were just promotional cards. That's all they were. I got an email in August of last year. Huh?
You're going to buy it.
No, I'm not. I'm not paying. Look, I know we talk about some weird things that I spend my money on, but $80 for a card? No, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
Have you checked prices lately?
I haven't, but I ain't doing it.
Maybe Wario 64.
I'm not doing it while I've got PAX coming up here soon.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're going to be there.
Maybe you could, do you have any contacts?
Actually, I'm on their Discord channel, Dropmix Discord channel, and there's some people from Harmonix who are on there, and I've been talking to them, and that conversation just started yesterday.
Okay.
To try and get somebody on the show to talk about it. Apparently, and I looked through old emails, apparently I've been trying to get Harmonix on the show for a while, back when they released Fantasia. And I never got anybody then. So I'm trying now to get them for Drop Mix and stuff. And but there's PAX coming up. So maybe they'll
re-release them.
Maybe there'll be some promo cards there that I can pick up or whatever the case. So there's all that is on the horizon. And then even after that, there's PAX South, which, again, opportunity.
You know the convention rule. If there's swag, always pick it up.
Well, I didn't even see this at PAX last year.
Yeah.
Like, I got an email saying Harmonix is going to be at PAX Prime in September because coming up in November or October, they're releasing a game called Drop Mix. Do you want to do an interview and come by and see blah, blah, blah? And I never signed up for it. It just was not something that was on my radar. First off, it was a card game, and I was just like, cards are not my thing, man. They're really not. I've tried many times to get into, like, Magic and other things, and I just can't do it. But completely different. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't even care about the car. Well, I mean, I care because I'm trying to collect them all, but.
Well, then that's where the music comes in.
It is. But when I look at my hand, I don't care what's going to sound well because I don't know what's going to sound well. I just play. And when something pops up that sounds awesome, boom, that's what you got.
Because the different cards will have, different color attributes to it depending on, like, what instrument. So you might have one card that's the drum line for this one song, and this one card might be the guitar line. Mm-hmm. This card might be the keyboard. This card might be the vocals. That's neat, the individual cards of that. But then you have – I really like the wild cards or the ones that, the rainbow, whatever you call it, where you could put that card anywhere, and it'll take out from that song.
Yeah.
So the one that I really liked was Hall & Oates.
Of course.
I do like Hall & Oates, but I could go for that. So, put that in the guitar part, and then they'll start playing the guitar. You throw it over in the vocals, and then the no can do. I could go for it. So you could, play that anywhere. And I'm like, that's really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
That, depending on where you play it is, what it's going to pick out, whether it's the instrument or the vocals or everything.
I'm going to see if I can get there's a cord that I can plug into the board here that also plugs into the headphone out on my iPad, and I'm going to see if I can get that and then hook that up here so we can actually do something with it next week, and just to kind of do more displays. Maybe I can get the Harmonix guys on the phone too, and do an interview here. So no, that was fun. We should take a break, but I want to see if there was anything. Oh yeah, I do want to talk about that.
Okay.
Let me open that up. Get some of the things here ready for me to talk about. The Pokemon Go Fest. Yeah, the Pokemon Go Fest, whatever. What else do we have here? There's that whole... Is there any interest in No Man's Sky Next? I posted that trailer for you guys to see, and there's a... I mean, the amount of changes that are coming to that game are
substantial.
Yes. And at this point, I don't even remember the promises that they broke to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is that. I don't know. Maybe eventually. There's so many other things I'm more excited to play.
Yeah.
Than something that I'm just mediocre about.
Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff I'm looking. Got on hold and I'm going to be picking up in No Man's Sky. I didn't think about it because of the, like you said, the broken promises there.
Yeah.
But it was bad. Yeah,
but it's something to look at later on down the line.
Yeah.
See how well they've recovered from that initial.
Especially now that you can join with two other players and explore
you can do multiplayer
with everybody. So, We're going to take a break. When we come back, more in-game chat. If you want to reach out and get in touch with us, you can call. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. Music now from Commando. It's the main theme from Commando. I'm sure RJ would have recognized this regardless, but we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chats. What is it, RJ?
Afterburner.
That is right. I see, I knew you would get it. Mm. They even said it was coming up on the, and I said, RJ, you're going to get this next one. You've got it. Mm-hmm. Completely. And boom, Afterburner. There it is. So, welcome back to In-Game Chat. A couple of things I wanted to hit here before we have to go. There was Germany.
Germany. Sorry.
Has now, that's a whole like local thing, folks. If you are listening from not here in town, no idea what that is.
But if you're listening from in town, it's funny.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube.
Germany.
Germany now prohibits pre-orders for products that don't have firm release dates.
That's a step that they're taking, I guess.
Isn't that? I like that.
Wow.
I love that, actually.
But a lot of things are nebulous on the release date.
And that's fine. Why should you have to pre-order them if it's nebulous?
Yeah.
Why should it be available for pre-order?
Well, they just lie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could do that as well and say, yeah, we're going to come out. Oh, we backed it up. You
then,
know?
Then something just happened. We could, due to unforeseen circumstances, we just had to push it back.
Because I know, like, before you go into, like, GameStop or Amazon or whatever, and it says release date of December 31st of that year. And you're like, yeah that's a placeholder.
Let's look at the, let me read this here. The Higher Regional Court of Munich recently ruled that retailers can't list products for sale with generic phrases like coming soon or this item has not yet released. Instead, they must state when the product is expected to ship. Otherwise, a pre-order cannot be offered. Dusseldorf consumer CEO Wolfgang Schultzinski said when consumers order goods on the internet, providers must specify by when the goods are delivered. While this ruling will apply to video games, it wasn't born out of any particular incident related to games. It actually stems from an incident where a consumer protection claim was made regarding a Samsung Galaxy S6 pre-order offer in August of 2016. However, this is applicable to all products, and that includes video games.
Interesting. Hmm. Huh. That's one way of doing it.
I really kind of like that. I do not like the...
I know some people are against pre-orders in general. And
My whole thing is you're free to do with your money with whatever you want to do. It all depends on the reasons. If you're pre-ordering a game because you're going to get crack at a beta, or you're going to get some kind of trinket or something sent to you.
Some extra level,
whatever. You know,
this, that, and the other.
But if you're just if it's got no incentives and you're just pre-ordering, I don't necessarily know that there's any reason to do that. But again, it is your money to spend the way that you want to spend it.
I am
never one that's going to give anybody crap for the way they spend their money.
All right, so we both
talked about it enough of how I spend my money today.
We both pre-ordered Hitman. Did you get the sniper level? the Snapper Assassin?
That came with it.
See, that's one of the reasons why I did that.
No, I didn't. Look, but the reason I pre-ordered that
game. Because it was a super deal. And
it was a massive, it was a price error. But, that's the only reason I did that.
But that's a good thing that, like, you know, when we both pre-ordered it, you know, we get, play this.
Does that play like the, I got a Hitman Sniper game on my iPad.
Yes.
Okay.
Only better controls.
Okay, yeah, really.
They did one for Hitman Absolution as well that came out years ago. So when they announced the Hitman Sniper Assassin, like, hey, if you pre-order it now, you get to play this right now.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, you know, it's a free game. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and I pre-ordered it, and I've actually been playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So...
No, go ahead.
Okay. But yeah, you could load up the Sniper Assassin game, and you know, it's actually a fun game.
Yeah, when I put in the code, it's like Hitman 2 Gold Edition whatever, and I clicked okay. And then it wanted to install, and I was like, you're not ready to install. And then I clicked sure, go ahead. And then all of a sudden it started installing the sniper whatever thing that I had pre-ordered. I was like, "Oh, it's that thing. Okay, sure. Go ahead, install that. I'll maybe take a look at it and see."
It is fun.
But, I mean, otherwise, I don't really... Let's see. I pre-ordered Spider-Man because I was worried that the little trinkets might get sold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I did. But what else? I haven't pre-ordered Forsaken. There's nothing that comes with that.
Yeah.
That really gives me... And also, I'm going to buy it digitally. So, yeah, I mean, they're not going
to
run out of copies.
You don't have to worry about them like, oh, we're going to be out of... Yeah.
Yeah. There's no problem there. So... I don't have any issue with that. So I honestly do pre-order my Steelbooks.
Okay.
Only for the fact that sometimes those
are limited editions.
Yeah, they run out. Did you ever find your Black Panther?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Found it. I was just a random stop at Best Buy, and there it was.
Yeah. Sometimes those go fast. When I was there to pick up my Rampage copy, I didn't pick it up until yesterday. The movie came out on Tuesday, but I didn't pick it up until yesterday. And every time I walk in there, I'm going to go and look at their movies just to see what's there, see if there's anything I may have missed or whatever, see what's in stock. And they did not have a Steelbook edition of Rampage on the shelf.
Yeah.
So, but my copy had been reserved, so that is something that I do pre-orders on. Let's go to the phones. There we go. This is Doc, I believe. Doc Burke.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful.
Fantastic.
My wife just left me today, and I know that should be a bad thing, but now I've got plenty of free time on my hands,
okay.
And I'm looking for a really, really good horror game to play that's actually scary.
Oh, a horror game.
What system do you have?
I have a PC.
You have a PC, okay, so that opens up a lot of stuff for you. There is a game...
I enjoyed Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, there's Resident Evil 7.
Outlast?
I was going to suggest Outlast.
Yeah. Outlast, yeah.
Outlast?
Yes.
Outlast.
I've seen that, but not tried it.
Yeah, Outlast puts you, at least the first game, I don't know what the sequel did. I think the sequel changed it up. But I know the first game, which, because it's been out for a while, you can probably pick it up on the cheap.
It is. It's cheap on Steam.
Yeah. You can pick that up, and it's, you basically just have a camera...
Mm-hmm.
And you really, it's just hide and seek for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like trying to run away from the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Multiple
bad guys.
Like a horror movie.
Really, there is pretty much. Yeah.
Layers of Fear, that's fun. That's very atmospheric.
Oh, the painting one?
Yes.
Yeah, I played that one. That one was really good. It was really creepy. It reminded me a lot of Amnesia.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you haven't played Amnesia, would also be...
That was good. Okay, well, I think I'll give Outlast a try then. That sounds really good.
Well,
and one more question.
Yeah, sure.
y'all have been playing all this 8-bit music today.
Yeah.
And I took me back to my college days, and which was early 90s. And me and the girl I was dating back then had made an 8-bit, well, I guess back then it was a tape, I guess an 8-bit sex tape mix. And that leads to a very interesting evening.
I would imagine it would.
Tried it, I would advise it because the rhythms are pretty good.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
You too.
All right, bye.
Matt, I know your wheels are spinning right now because you love the nostalgic
Matt,
stuff.
We are FCC rules now.
I'm good. Hold it in.
No, that's fine. It's just that I know he's thinking, ooh, what 8-bit music would work with some candles and some...
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, leisure Suit Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem saying leisure.
Well, as well you should.
Yeah. So anyway, back to some of these... that was an interesting call. stories here.
That's going in the archive.
Thanks,
Doc.
Do what now?
So thanks, Doc, for that. Yeah, exactly. That's a legend. Yeah. That's a legendary call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Fortnite.
Sure.
Which I have no desire to, absolutely none, to play.
No. I finally saw the video of the...
You're not the only one.
Yeah, they have passed the $1 billion mark, and that's $1 billion on microtransactions.
Yeah, that's billion with a
probably
B.
Probably from like three people. Yeah. I finally saw the Crack the Sky event thing.
The fact that the game exists on every platform known to man, I mean, you can play it on your phone, your tablet, you can play it on Switch, PC.
It's like Skyrim.
PlayStation, Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on all the platforms, so the microtransactions are abundant.
Yeah.
But
so much so that some people want to steal people's cars to put that stuff on there. You see that story?
What?
Kids stealing their parents' cars to get the transactions on there.
Oh, I thought you said car.
No, cards. Cards.
I'm like,
cards.
They're stealing cars?
Yeah. No, it's a free-to-play game, but it has made $1 billion.
Yep. I wonder if the people from PUBG are just, cursing.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, they probably got a great. I tell you who's into it, Microsoft.
Yeah.
They spent a bunch of money to get PUBG on the Xbox system because it was hot at the time, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But around that same time, Fortnite came around and just knocked that thing to the ground.
Cartoonier and
And EA is on that boat, so it's is it EA or is it Epic? No, it's.
I don't know.
Is it Epic? I thought it was EA, but I guess it's not. It's Epic Games.
Okay.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. $1 billion in something that's free to play. It's amazing. Which, here's what that means. It's not going anywhere.
No.
If you thought the whole Battle Royale thing is going to die off soon and going to have its phase and go through and be done, it's not happening.
Mm-mm.
Not going to happen. I just have no desire to play it.
Yeah. People are still Minecrafting.
Yeah. That's true.
No, that's fine. People are Minecrafting.
Yeah.
There's also not... I don't think there's microtransactions in Minecraft either. I know of.
Never played it, so don't know.
I feel a sneeze coming on. Sorry.
Germany?
Excuse me. Oh, goodness. Oh, let's see. What else do we have? Apparently, Remedy, the makers of Quantum Break.
Mm-hmm. And Max Payne.
And Alan Wake.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to go with more the good games.
Alan Wake's a great game.
Yes, and Max Payne. You said Quantum Break first.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the most recent.
Yeah.
That's the most recent thing that they did. Plus, it also was involved
They got a new thing coming out, don't they?
They do have something coming out. I don't know when.
Ish,
they teased new-ish? It.
New-ish, yeah. At E3. I can't remember
what it was called. Yeah, I think it showed off at the Microsoft or the Sony thing. I can't remember which one showed it off.
Control.
Yeah. Control. Anyway, from what IGN says is that Alan Wake and Quantum Break, those two games cannot get sequels unless they get Microsoft's approval.
Really?
I'm guessing Alan Wake, I guess,
Well, Alan Wake had the All-American, was it All-American Dream or whatever?
Yeah, it was kind of
an expand-alone,
I guess, type of thing. And that was done for the, I think, Xbox Live Arcade.
I think I have it on the PC.
No. When it first released, it was on Xbox Live Arcade, and then it got... But that's the thing. It's a Windows and Microsoft game. So is Quantum Break. It is not on PlayStation. Alan Wake is not on PlayStation. It is only on PC and Xbox console.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the exclusive that Microsoft bought was not only for those games to be exclusive to their systems, but it seems like they now own the properties. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
They own the property rights to it. Remedy can't do anything with it. There may be something that says that if you do a sequel, Remedy has to develop it. You know, if you greenlight a sequel through us, Remedy's the one who's going to develop it because it is still their game, I guess. But apparently if Microsoft holds the rights to say yay or nay on sequels to those games, then they've got more sway than it just being exclusive to their systems.
Yeah.
Because Titanfall was an exclusive to Microsoft. But when Titanfall 2 released, that was not. So they just bought the exclusivity. They didn't buy necessarily like the property.
So I
agree with the chat room that I would prefer a new Alan Wake.
That was
a fun game, very Twin Peaks-y horror, you know, I guess like Twin Peaks and Twilight Zone, you know, mashed. I really liked Alan Wake.
No, Alan Wake's fantastic.
Or even, I wouldn't mind a Max Payne. You know, more in the vein of like one or two. Didn't really enjoy three that much. I played through it, but it was.
But three was more actiony than anything else.
Yeah, it didn't have that.
One and two had that that noir type storytelling, which is what drew me in the first place. The storytelling. It wasn't the action that pulled me to Max Payne. It was the film noir style storytelling, and three was pure action to me.
It was. There was a big shift. Yeah. But it also wasn't, I don't think, was Remedy Max Payne 3?
I don't think that was.
It was Rockstar.
Rockstar.
But wasn't Rockstar also, Rockstar was the publishers of
I think
1 and 2, right?
The Eidos.
No.
I thought Eidos had something to do with that. Because, like, aren't they the ones that
Max Payne 3 was developed by Rockstar.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, we knew that.
I thought Eidos had something to do with it, because, like,
no.
Aren't they the ones that did Kane and Lynch?
Kane and Lynch was Eidos, yes.
Because I thought there was a tie-in between Max Payne 3 and Kane and Lynch.
No, I'm looking at developers here. Remedy Entertainment, 3D Realms.
Just not remembering things correct.
Yeah. Remedy Entertainment, 3D Realms, Rockstar Toronto, Rockstar Leeds, Rockstar Vienna, and a company called Maxsoft. But, yeah, that's... I remember 3D Realms, I think, did the first one, or had some involvement with the first game. So,
speaking of bad,
what
video game movies? Remember that Max Payne movie?
I refused. Horrible. I refused.
They really haven't gotten them good. I think Mortal Kombat still stands as like, at least let's try and reach that bar.
Mortal Kombat and Silent Hill, to me, are the two.
That's true.
I did like Silent
The
Hill.
First Resident Evil wasn't bad.
And I would put Silent Hill above that Mortal Kombat movie
Super
as well.
Mario Brothers.
Silent Hill was is the best of the bunch right now?
I would say so, yeah.
I would think.
I mean, it all depends. Like Silent Hill.
Yeah, it all depends. Like, some people are fans of just the game Mortal Kombat, and that movie works, whereas
the
Annihilation doesn't, the sequel they made.
Yeah, and the soundtrack for the first Mortal Kombat was amazing.
I think that still sits as like the standard of let's try and achieve this not only in how much we make but the audience reaction type thing of enjoying what we've done in the translation. I don't think they've done anything else.
That's a good soundtrack.
I'm trying to think. Is there any other games in development as far as movies are concerned? I can't think of anything.
Tomb Raider was like the last one that I knew of. I mean, Rampage, that just came out.
There was Rampage,
Rampage.
Which was hardly...
How, I mean, come on, the premise, you remember the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we...
There was no plot. It was, you know, you're one of three monsters, you smash things until you turn into a small human.
Yeah, the plot didn't come out until that remake they put on the, I think PS3,
but
Xbox
at that
360.
Point,
Rampage World Tour?
Yeah, World Tour, thank you.
Do you need a plot? For Rampage.
I said a plot developed. I didn't say it was necessary.
I did like Warcraft, but I also didn't play it. I don't play Warcraft, which, by the way, is now free to play.
Oh, really?
Well, let me take that back. You don't have to buy the games anymore. You need a subscription, but you don't have to buy the games.
Huh.
Like, used to, you have to go and buy...
And then the subscription.
Yeah, and then also buy the subscription. They got rid of that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do that anymore.
If you could turn any one series into a movie, like take, you know, like X game and make a movie out of it, what would you do?
What would you do?
Series.
Or like any game. It doesn't have to be a series, but like if you like...
Or a game.
Last of Us.
A game right now to make a good movie, okay?
Last of Us is just the closest... Well, it feels like a movie as is.
Yeah,
it
but the expectations would be...
massive,
ridiculously high on that one. Yeah. You bet this one of them. You better get this right.
Yeah. Homeworld.
What's the plot?
The plot of Homeworld is you're on this alien planet. I forget the planet's name, but it's only inhabited on the North and South Poles, and you know, sort of like Civil War's been going on for like years and years, and you know, and you find this in an expedition in the, I guess, towards the equator, they find a stone that has, you know, like from in a crashed ship from like, you know, a long time ago, and it has a star map on it, and all it says is home. And so everyone gets together, they stop wars, and they build this huge, giant spaceship, and they're trying to find out where they come from, because obviously, you know, they didn't come from that planet. So... they go off and, you know, on this giant ship. It's a real-time strategy game that was really good. But, I mean, the story was fascinating where, like, the head scientist of the world put her brain and AI into the mothership. And as soon as, like, you start to go, you get attacked and by aliens saying, like, we warned you guys, you know, centuries ago, don't ever try and come out into space. But you didn't listen to us, so... You go back to your, you know, the plant that you just came from and is like completely destroyed. And so now you're like, well, we got nowhere to, we can't go back. I guess we just go forward.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I think that would be an interesting one.
Drunk Degenerous.
Yes, I heard Drunk Degenerous. They did fix it. I don't know if that's enough for me to play it.
Did you go back and play it? Did you go back and fix it and play it?
Okay. I did not.
Because we talked about that last week.
We did. And then I'd realize I'd still be playing Alien Colonial Marines. And I'd rather be flying Elite Dangerous right now.
You don't know. What if it, there are plenty of people that said it made it better. So,
you know, yeah, they did it. Better, but I don't know. There's other stuff I'd rather play than because I went through the whole thing and I actually beat it. So going back through and playing it again, which I'm all for replaying games, you know me, but I'm more sucked into right now Elite Dangerous, you know. So I got my, you know, flight stick on.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'd rather be doing that than trying to slog through Colonial Marines again. I mean, it is fascinating that, you know, a typo made it so terrible.
I know. Yeah. They never caught that.
But yeah, if you're coding, you've seen that before. Yeah, one little errant keystroke. Especially ones where you there's no character, like a space. Someone hits space by accident and it messes up the entire code. Yeah.
You know, for like bad video game movies that I am unapologetically loving, and I know it's it was a bad Street Fighter.
So bad it got a cult following?
Yes, it is bad.
And
the way Raul Julia's
last film
owns every scene that he's in.
Yeah.
You know?
And that meme, Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday.
If I could find, like, I like that movie.
Go to eBay. It's probably on Blu-ray by now.
Yeah.
It was at the most important day for you, but for me it was Tuesday.
Yep. I love that. It was such a bad, cheesy, ham-fisted film, but
Raul Julia stuck
it. No regrets. I love it.
Yeah, but Raul Julia stuck it. Yeah.
Oh, he did. And even Van Damme was, you know, he was Van Damme. But yeah, it was good for that.
Yeah. They said he was I'm trying to think. It was some article I saw about. He was how Van Damme was in the background of that, like he was coked up or something on that movie.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
You saw
reading something about that this week about him.
Yeah, he was coked up. He was coked up behind the scenes on that movie.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel if you're watching us now. We appreciate it. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on Discord, we've got a Discord. If you're playing Destiny 2 on any system, we've got a clan. that you can find, and join up there as well. Have a fantastic week.
Oh, you forgot some. What's the theme of the songs?
Right. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Saturday. This is coming from San Francisco Rush 2049.
Mm-hmm. Are these all games that had arcade ports?
These are all arcade games. They all had ports, obviously. Most of them, I guess, had ports. Mm-hmm. But all this music comes from the arcade versions.
Oh, so that was the theme?
Yeah, it's all arcade music. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that was really generalized.
It was. But Paperboy, Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all arcade.
Afterburner.
Games.
Yeah. I got to come up. Feel free to submit suggestions for themes. It'll help. We'll see you next Saturday.